Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast, Tiny Terror Minisode. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Lauren.
Hey, everybody. So this episode, we're going to be talking about our recent trip to New Jersey for Monster Mania 58, and we're also going to be discussing the 1992 BBC film Ghost Watch.
Of course, that's streaming on Shudder. We're going to kind of go mostly spoiler-free with our review on it, but we might go a little bit, you know, into the spoiler territory towards the end. So, but we're going to start with talking about our trip to Monster Mania. Before we do that, of course, I just want to remind you guys to go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast, as well as upcoming horror movie trivia nights. The next one will be on April 17th at Keegan's Irish Pub in Virginia Beach. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast, you could do so by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you'd like to sign up for Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. You get some stickers in the mail, shout out in a future episode, and a couple other perks as well. So now with all that being said, of course, let's dive into our trip to Monster Mania 58. Of course, like you said, we went to Jersey for it. The first day on our trip up, we had to stop and get an oil change. So, of course, it was fun to find out we also needed two new tires. just sharing the story for anybody that can relate with real life shit hitting them pretty much. But other than that, the trip up was pretty smooth. It was going up the Eastern Shore the entire time, so it was, you know, nice and laid back trip. So not too much traffic or anything like that, but I will say, though, that the first day when we got there, like, it was pretty easy to get in and get our wristbands and stuff like that. How would you say when we first walked in, like, what was your impression of, you know, Monster Mania in general? You know, we've been to a few cons now, so, like, would you say it just kind of felt like every other con? Was there anything?
Yeah, I mean, I felt pretty typical, you know, when we got in. I was just like, wow, there's a lot of people. I kind of knew that it would be intense just because, like, all the hotel rooms were sold out. And we got there, you know, we found somewhere to park, but luckily the hotel was near, like, a bunch of other businesses, like miscellaneous businesses. So we were able to find parking, but cold, wet, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of rough, but not that rough.
Yeah, and we pretty much showed up as doors were opening, so it was already packed out. You know, the whole line out front was already set up for Brad Dourif. His line was going outside. Katie Sagal's line was wrapped around the bar. The only person we even got autographed from on the first day, we only got two autographs, honestly, the whole time, and we went with intent to get way more. But honestly, after finding out some of their prices, as well as just getting through the line that we got through on day two, which we'll get to in a second, we just didn't feel like waiting in too many more lines. But we just like the overall experience of going to a con, as well as, you know, we took a vacation to go out in town. I love going to Philly, and we got to enjoy some other spots that we'll mention as well. But pretty much one thing that was a bummer is the first day our intent was to go get Katie Sagal's autograph, and her price was $200 for an autograph and a picture. And I gotta say, that's just too much for me to pay anybody for 30 seconds of time. And
it was out of our tax bracket, which wasn't expected, because, you know, we do love Katie Sagal, married, but understandably, you know, married with children, she's an icon. Futurama, I forget about Futurama because we don't watch it. We're not really Futurama fans, although I will watch it and I love her. But like Smart House and Sons of Anarchy were a big deal to both of us. Well, Sons more me. So it was a little disappointing to not be able to get her autograph, but we can plan in the future if she's somewhere.
And comes down a little bit on her prices. Yeah. Of course. But yeah, because, and no shade at anybody that's willing to pay that. That's just not something that we really enjoy paying just to, you know, for a quick signature in 30 seconds of time. But we did go meet Stacey Nelkin from Halloween 3.
And she was a sweetheart.
Yeah, absolute sweetheart.
She was a sweetheart. She took her time picking out her pen and like signing it and making sure that we got a quote that we wanted. She was just really sweet. It was nice that she tried to go out of her way to talk to us and see where we came from and all that kind of stuff. And then it was kind of fun Friday because we got most of our shopping done. Like, we were like, all right, let's check out all the vendors.
Yeah.
And then we started shopping. We found, I want to say the guy's name is Litz with a Z, Kids, and he does kids horror t-shirts, and he only does conventions. He didn't even have a card or a sticker to give us, and we didn't get a receipt either. So we asked him right as we were leaving, do you have a card? And he said, I only do conventions. So if you ever see him out, he has really, really cool kids t-shirts that you can't even really find on Amazon or Etsy. So I don't know. Love seeing all that. And then Tim's brain was breaking with all the DVDs that there were and Blu-rays. So he took his time. I will say he didn't get his DVDs till the second day.
Yeah.
But it was nice to just go shop. I will say again, I wish I was able to buy some more. There were so many cool vendors. If you have never been to a con, it's really worth it to go to see all the cool vendors, the jewelry and the things, the, you know, oddities and jewelry made of bones and tumblers that have all your favorite horror characters and just anything you can think of. If you want something way nice, like a really, really nice collectible, or even just, you know, a Tiny Toons character, like we got our son to play with. If you're into that world, it's the place to be, honestly. That's the most fun part for me. And everybody dressed up. So many people are in costumes and cosplay, if you will. Who was the girl that we saw that we did not get her picture?
Opera. From the movie Opera.
Oh, my gosh. Epic. It was so cool. She had the coolest costume, and we didn't even get a picture because it's a little overwhelming for if you're not used to that large of crowds all the time.
Yeah. Now, that's one thing I love about going to cons is the artwork spans from, you know, resellers to completely original to, you know, same thing with toys. You know, some of the toys are handmade, you know, like there's somebody that makes all horror Legos. So if you're a Lego collector, you can go get, you know, any character you want in a Lego and, you know, or you can get these, you know, 3D artwork type things that you can't get anywhere else, or horror coasters. And so if you're a horror fan and you want anything for your house,
pins,
or just
stickers,
you know, yeah,
pillows, just the craziest stuff that you can't really even find on Etsy. Some people don't sell on Etsy, so it is nice to, if you have a little, you save a little stack through the year. That's why some people just choose a couple cons to go to and they only go to those.
And that's one thing I will say is Monster Mania had a great selection of vendors. That's I'll shout them out for that. All the people that decide to go to Monster Mania, definitely go all out and make sure they bring plenty and definitely bring their best stuff for sure. So
absolutely. So first day, that's really all we did. And then what did we do Friday night? We can edit this out if we don't want
to. Friday night, we ended up going to Monster Vegan with Ren and Diana.
Oh, yeah. So we met up with Ren, one of Tim's monthly co-hosts, and his lovely wife, Diana. We went to Monster Vegan in Philly. Amazing. So good. I knew it would be. The drinks were like, so it was kind of mid-price, not too expensive, but, you know, a nice dinner. It definitely wasn't Applebee's, but I got the Phantasm on VHS, and it was more or less kind of, it tasted like a lemon drop with some champagne. There was, like, lavender liqueur in it, too, but it was very subtle, and it was good, and I was lit, and it was, like, worth the price, and I got a vegan Caesar salad, which the dressing was amazing, like, probably the best homemade Caesar I've had, and a rigatoni, and it was so good. I'm so glad that we chose it. I was a little nervous, but it was my first nice vegan restaurant. Worth every cent. I'll go again tomorrow if we could.
Now, I got the truffle fries, which is pretty much just, you know, drizzled truffle over, you know, cheese over some fries, and then I got Korean barbecue wings, which were delicious as well. So, and then I drink beer, so I just got a Basquatch on draft, which is one of my favorite beers. So it was nice to find.
It's nice to get it on draft. Yeah, so. Yes, because
which are a Philly beer. Apparently, I didn't know that. So.
Oh wow!
I believe so. I think Rogue is from Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. So
we'll fact check that and we'll cut it out if not. But no, it was nice. It's always nice when we go somewhere and you get a beer that you like on draft. Because again, I don't drink beer. Sorry, our cat is losing his mind today. I don't drink beer, but I do drink Angry Orchard, and when there's an Angry Orchard on tap, it's just so much better than a can or a bottle. So it was nice, and just a nice ambient experience. Again, we'll go the next time we're in Philly. If you ever wanted to check out a vegan spot, definitely we'll plug Monster Vegan, and Tim will make sure that they're linked in the description as well, because that's important. Support local business.
Yeah. No, sure. Definitely go to Monster Vegan. We will be there every time we're in Philly. This is my second time. I went the first time back when I visited for This Is Hardcore. And I'll definitely, like I said, it's a must go to. And especially like we kind of mentioned, it's horror themed, everything from the menu to the, you know, decor and everything. So definitely for fans of the podcast and just fans of horror in general. But so pretty much on day two, we started off for a day pretty simple. With no food because we tried to go to Cracker Barrel and that was a failed experience, but we won't even dive into that. But so we went and jumped right into Sam Raimi's line at about 9:45 in the morning, and we did not get out of line.
No. Let's back up. We jumped in line to get into the Riverside Pavilion where Sam Raimi was set up. He was not in his own spot, which I will say was probably a mistake. I don't think that they anticipated so much hype for Sam Raimi because we were waiting to get into the building at 9:45, but it went pretty quick, and then Sam Raimi's line.
Yeah, we pretty much didn't get out of the line until 4:45. Of course, I hopped out and went and found us drinks and found us hot dogs and finally rounded up my Blu-rays, which I'll go through the Blu-ray haul I got for all my physical media heads in a second, but it was definitely worth it, though. Sam Raimi is such a sweetheart, and it wasn't his fault. It was definitely, like Lauren said, Monster Mania kind of could have prepared a little bit better. I think when they had Joe Dante still on and had, you know, Warwick Davis still signed on, I think they expected the lines to kind of spread out more. But then when it kind of fell down to only being John Cleese, Brad Dourif, and Sam Raimi as, like, the three big, you know, names. Of course, you know, Lynn Shay was there, and she was great, and she had a steady line, but nowhere near, you know, Sam Raimi and them. And then same thing with, you know, the two Evil Dead people, you know, they had some fans. Everybody had fans. There was people there just for the Starship Trooper people, but you could tell that there was mad fans out there just for Sam Raimi. There was literally probably a couple hundred people just there with Spider-Man stuff, and, you know, so that, you know, they didn't care about all these horror people. But no, Sam Raimi was awesome. He was such a sweetheart. Walked by us several times, talked to us each time. Was super nice when we met him at the table, and he was worth every bit of time and penny that we spent, you know, getting there to meet him. He was the main goal for the weekend.
Right.
And like I said, we only ended up getting two autographs when we planned to get plenty more, but it was mostly just because we spent 6 hours in this line that kind of drained us of the whole line waiting thing.
Right.
So we kind of just spent our money on more vendor stuff and kind of supported those people. But with that being said, Sam Raimi was just
an angel.
Yeah, sweetheart. And I definitely recommend going out to any event to meet him if you can. But
yeah, and that was the big thing when we knew that he was coming. It was, okay, well, we have to get Sam Raimi's autograph. So that was the goal, and I'm glad we did. So like Tim said, you know, shouts out to Tim. I held up the line the whole time, and we made friends in line. Shout out to those friends. We did not get each other's names, but if y'all are listening, you know who you are. He really did, you know, grab his DVDs, which I'm excited for you to go through. And he just held us down, so I really appreciated that.
Went and scooped coffees.
Yep. Hot dogs. Yeah, there's this one. Okay, so one thing I will say is there was one guy who had a hot dog cart, and he was, like, the savior, because that was the best hot dog I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
But without further ado, so what DVDs did you end up buying? I know that it was a hard decision for you, but, you know, you made some choices. You got a good little stack going.
Yeah, shout out to the four companies that I saw and shot from. I think there was a fifth one there, but I might be mistaken, and sorry if you know that I didn't shout you out if you were there. But the four companies I shot from, of course, were Vinegar Syndrome, Diabolik DVD, Severn Films, and Scream Team Releasing, which releases a lot of indie films. I ended up just getting The Barn 2 from Scream Team because I'm a big fan of those The Barn films. And, of course, I already had The Barn 1, so that was one I was, as soon as I saw them at a next convention, I was going to scoop that. And then only got one from Vinegar Syndrome as well, and that was the Freeway 2-pack because I love the Freeway film, and I want to see Freeway 2, so I figured, why the hell not type thing. But that's in 4K. And then, of course, I picked up the Vinegar Syndrome release of Ebola Syndrome along with the Blue Underground release of The House by the Cemetery from Diabolik DVD. And those guys were awesome. They had great pricing on their stuff as well. And then last but not least, from Severn Films, I picked up Blood and Flesh, which is the documentary about Al Adamson. And that comes with a free movie of his, and I also picked up Dracula versus Frankenstein, which is a movie of his, and that also comes with a bonus film as well called Brains of Blood, I believe. So I scooped a bunch of stuff I haven't seen except for The Barn 2 and Freeway, of course, but I'm super excited to dive into these. I've seen The House by the Cemetery several times because it's Fulci, obviously, but I just needed to start adding some Fulci to my collection because if I'm not mistaken, this is my first Fulci Blu-ray, but
I think you're right, because we've talked about that before. I don't really know too much about the movie game or even what's available or what's like hot to try, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I have heard Vinegar Syndrome. I know that we've gotten stuff from him before. So it was cool to see all the different spots. And like I said, I saw your brain like calculating as soon as you were like, dang, I got to go here too. I got to figure it all out.
Yeah.
Because some of those prices of those 4Ks are a little... I didn't know, you know, they're a little high, but, you know, you can't yuck no one's yum, baby. I'm glad you got some stuff you like. It's disappointing when you go looking for something. Like, if you wouldn't have been able to get Freeway, I know that was, like, on your list. So it's disappointing if you go to find a DVD or find some Blu-rays and come up short. So it really was a good trip for stuff.
Yeah.
Buying stuff.
On Friday, they had... Because I kind of put a mental list together on Friday, but I was waiting until Saturday to get all the Blu-rays.
Right.
And that's the only bummer is that on Friday they had Dawn of the Dead 4K set still at Diabolik DVD, and by Saturday it was sold out. So I was a little bummed about that, but definitely excited about my pickups overall. I'm sorry. I do want to shout out Cody from Studio House Designs as well. He did his excellent merch. If you haven't checked him out already, I'm sure you have if you're listening to this, because... He's gotten pretty big in the horror merch game, but he does awesome tie-dye shirts. He does awesome tapestries. He does hats that say watch more horror movies, water bottles. He pretty much covers everything you can need for your horror merchandise needs and always covers some great movies. Like, I picked up a Talk to Me and Ginger Snap shirt, so definitely covers all sides of everything from classics to new releases. But
yeah, and there were a lot of cool vendors. And a lot of, like, typical t-shirts, you know? But Studio House really just is a, I guess, a more modern twist. I don't know, like you said. Not even just the tie-dye. Even the ones that aren't tie-dye. Just the printing style in general is really good. So, yeah, shouts out to him. We got some pretty cool lighters that say watch more horror movies. And just a cool little plastic cup because we needed a new one for the collection. We try to get one usually... if they have them available anytime we buy from somebody. He had a really cool jelly fanny pack, too, that I was so considering. But I was like, I have a nice fanny pack. Mm-hmm. Let me not be extra.
But he also has the bumper stickers that say, I'd rather be hacking my foot off in the Saw 2004 bathroom. And if you steal my catalytic converter, I'll cry like the girl from Midsummer. So
yes.
Definitely had to pick those up as well. But
all great purchases. So I'm really glad that he was out there. Really nice guy. What else did we do Saturday? I mean, really Saturday, like Tim said, was we sat in that line and we got that Sam Raimi autograph. And then
we just went to Keg and Kitchen, which shout out to them for some good food. Keg and Kitchen.
Really good food. Great food. Check it out. That was in Philly or Jersey?
Jersey.
It was in Jersey. Okay, excuse me. We'll edit this. We'll edit it. But yeah, great place. And then we didn't do anything else Saturday night. We were going to go back for some movies, but it was raining really hard, so...
That's when we watched Ghost Watch, pretty much, but we'll dive into that after we talk. Just about... The only thing we really got to mention about Sunday, because we ended up not going Sunday because we didn't really need to. We got everything done in the first 2 days, which... It was the same price to buy 2 days as it was a whole weekend, so that's why we just scooped a weekend pass just in case we needed to go a third day. But we really... The highlight of Sunday, other than hanging out with your friends from work, was going to Grindcore Coffee House in downtown South Philly.
Yeah, shout out Grindcore House on Instagram. They're awesome. So I got a vegan, I think I got just a cold brew with some oat milk and some, like, they had liquid sugar out there that you just kind of do it up yourself. But I also got an everything bagel, which was absolutely handmade wherever. I don't know if they do it in-house or they get from somewhere else. It might have been
Mrs. Rachel's, because that's
Miss Rachel's. I think that's what Ren said. Authentic bagel. Oh my God, it was so good. And the vegan cream cheese. Oh my gosh, so freaking good. I can't even explain. Tim did not have a bite of it, but as somebody who has never really eaten vegan, you really can't tell the difference. The only difference is it's a little less salty. I don't know. So good. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Yeah, I get a Swamp Thing like I pretty much will probably get every time just because it's super good, and I know that it's aesthetic for the
It's beautiful. Pictures. So in this, if you're listening, of course you're listening, edit this out. When Tim posts this episode, he'll make sure to put up a picture of the, you said the Swamp Thing is what they call it?
Well, no, if you go back and look at the pictures I posted from Monster Mania that are already on Instagram and stuff, you'll see the picture of the
Swamp Thing. It's just a beautiful drink and yummy. I tried a little sip of yours. I didn't know it was mint. You didn't tell me nothing about it.
It doesn't really have a mint flavor at all, though.
I don't know. Kind of. It was beautiful.
Not really enjoying it, but... Now, and then we just headed home, and then, but like we said, we watched Ghost Watch on Saturday, so I guess we can dive into a little review for that. We'll go spoiler-free. Before I give the synopsis, I just want to ask, is this something you would recommend?
Yeah, I would recommend it, just because, like, especially knowing it came out in 92, which I'm sure Tim will go into, you know, for the time, sometimes you have to think about the time when things came out, like, it wasn't scary, but it was, like, you know, I got a couple little, like, ooh, moments. I thought it would be scarier, but I was glad it was more toned down, because it's something that I would watch on my own. Like, if that would have been one of the nights you put on a movie and fall asleep, I would watch it on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I would recommend it.
Yeah, and like you said, this came out in 1992, so the only things that really have any comparison to it prior that I have knowledge of course, you know, feel free to, you know, hit the DMs if you guys know of anything else. But Man Bites Dog came out the same year, which is a documentary kind of like where a mockumentary, obviously, similar to this, where a crew follows a serial killer. And then, of course, Cannibal Holocaust. But both of those kind of rely on violence, where this relies on supernatural scares. Right. So I think that kind of sets this one apart. And this was shown on national television.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely, if it's not PG... At further time, it was more family friendly, no cursing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe because it was like supposed to be a BBC. Well, I mean, they released it on the BBC for real, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So maybe because it was British, nothing, you know, not to knock the Brits, but.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, not that they're tame or anything with their content, but it's just definitely like anything that's in the prime time is going to be tamer than, you know, an HBO special.
But it definitely could have looked real, you know? So yeah, go into your synopsis so we can talk about that.
Well, yeah, because the synopsis kind of, you know, breaks down a little bit of what we've been hitting at. But a TV reporter investigates a haunted house in this classic British documentary, which of course, documentaries in quotes, which was originally broadcast in the UK on Halloween in 1992. As experts in the BBC studio discuss supernatural phenomena, reporter Sarah Green waits patiently for proof of a poltergeist named Pipes, whose bad behavior grows bolder through the evening. Ghostwatch freaked out gullible viewers across the UK because no warning indicated the special was scripted, leading to controversy, lawsuits, and a devoted cult following who continued to search the dock for hidden glimpses of the ghoul.
Okay, so I didn't know that. Actually, now that I think about it, you had mentioned that. So when they released it, it was kind of like Blair Witch style.
Yeah, almost. They just showed it on TV on Halloween as a, like,
tonight, it's like a we're special.
Doing, yeah, but they didn't say it was a fake special. You know, they were that's like, tonight cool. We're just doing Ghost Watch live.
Okay, so thinking of that, I definitely would be like more spooked out.
That's what I think when you watch the movie, you got to have that knowledge going in, or else this could be a little lackluster, like if you're just comparing it to modern found footage in general.
Right, or like a modern scary movie. A couple jump scares, though, I will say. A couple little jump scary moments, but nothing too crazy. It was more interesting and seeing kind of what was going to happen.
It's done very well in the way they set it up for exposition dumps.
Yes.
Like with phone call, like call in if you see or know anything.
Yeah, it was kind of like set up almost like a like variety show. Like call in or we're getting these reports. And that's where more of the interesting pieces would come in when they would be like, oh, well, we're getting all these reports of all these people seeing the same thing. That's spoiler free, right? And then like Tim said, you get a lot of exposition. I guess the one thing I would say is the ending was just too ambiguous for me personally, but I would watch it again. It's fun. You know what I mean? If somebody was like, put something fun on that's not too scary, because that's what happens with us. We'll go on vacation with friends and they'll be like, well, Tim can put out a movie, but maybe not, you know, tame it down a little bit. But, you know, the one time, shout out Leanne, she loved Barbarian after she didn't.
Barbarian was excellent.
I don't think she watched it on vacation with us. She was too scared, but
no, we watched it on.
Oh, yeah. And after that, she was like, I've watched it 4 times since I've seen you last. It's a good one. But, so that's my opinion on Ghostwatch. I liked it. I think it was a fun watch. I think that the actors were all great. I mean, the kids were kids acting, but thinking about them acting as kids acting on a TV show of these in their house, like, I don't know, they had some depth there.
Well, I think also watching it, knowing it's a movie, you can kind of see acting in it, where you would just think it was like weird personalities almost if you were watching it thinking it was real, like,
right.
But I can also see where like, again, it's because there's not, there wasn't content like this, especially in the BBC, because
right.
they were the ones famous for video nasties. So in 1992, they weren't seeing much of any horror movie that was anything other than just, like, tame, you know, PG-13 stuff.
Right.
So, no, and it definitely makes sense that this stuck out to people.
Well, and the adult actors, too. I don't know if anybody was anyone of, like, importance in the BBC. I don't know.
Yeah, they might have been just journalists or nobody.
Or maybe someone's, if people knew, like, one of the main newscaster guys, it's, like, his show. He does a really great job of making you not necessarily like him. I didn't really prefer him. So
he plays the skeptic part.
Yes. So with the ambiguity in the end, I was like, if anybody gets God, I hope it's him.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt. But no, I liked it. I think it was a good one for like a, this is a scary movie, but it's not Paranormal Activity. You know, it's not scary like those reenactments on the Discovery Channel or whatever. Them scare me, like the hauntings and stuff like that.
Well, and it's on Shudder right now, so I think it plays perfectly. Like, for one, you can watch it on anybody that has Shudder. If you don't, just you should have Shudder because it's definitely mm-hmm. worth it. And Joe Bob comes back this Friday.
Yes.
But it's a perfect precursor to Late Night with the Devil that comes out later this month, which is like an obvious, like, this is going to be fake horror movie, but it plays on, like, this is a late night talk show that goes wrong.
Ooh.
And it's very, so I think this would be a perfect time to watch this film and kind of, like, see you when you go to watch Late Night with the Devil. I'm sure there's no way that being a horror fan and making that type of film that there won't be some kind of callbacks to Ghostwatch because
right.
it's such a cult hit and stuff. So definitely one that I would check out watching. And before we just jump into spoiler territory, and of course with the spoilers, I just want to open up spoilers so we can kind of comment on the ending. We're not going to talk long after we open up spoilers, but what would you rate this? Would you, out of 10? I'll go and give my ratings that way. While you think about yours.
Yeah.
I would probably definitely give it a 7.5 out of 10. Because like I said, especially for the time, it's very strong. It's well done. Very well done to me. And it's very convincing as a mockumentary. Nothing goes too far to even doubt that it could be real at any time. Like anything in it could have been faked. To the point to where if it was truly, like, found footage, you could, like, still prove it off, you know what I mean? So.
Right. No, I agree. I think I'd give it an 8, actually. I was kind of thinking about sometimes the, I guess the devices they're using as far as, like, sound and, like, sometimes the camera gets messed up. And, I mean, this is spoiler territory, so.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the camera gets messed up and, like, you found out, oh, this is not real time and it should be. Dun, dun, dun. I don't know. I liked it. I liked all the pieces because there was a lot of exposition. I will say there was a lot of exposition and they tried to make it valid.
Yeah. Or it wasn't lucid. Like just somebody sitting on the couch telling a story for
right. It wasn't just exposition for the sake of exposition. Like, the things they were talking about, you would hear or, like, there's an ode to or whatever. And I will say the second time I watched it, I didn't see, like when they opened the thing and there was a person there. I didn't see that the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's why, like, of course, like, the synopsis said, people rewatch it for the thing. So of course, like you said, we kind of entered into spoiler territory, and I think that both of us have the same main complaint, and that's really just with the ending.
Yeah.
You spend 90 minutes. That's another thing. It's a cool 90 minutes. So it's not a super long movie either, but, you spend 90 minutes with a lot of characters, and then you don't really know the outcome for any of them.
What happens? And then then it kind of leaves you thinking, was it even real what you saw? Like, you see some people alive in the end,
yeah.
but did that
like,
really
happen?
Like,
you learn the bigger picture of everything, but you don't really learn about these actual you know, the mom and the two daughters, as well as, you know, this newscaster that's been there with them the whole time.
Right.
You kind of don't learn much about them.
And I'm not saying everything has to be buttoned up perfect. I mean, I like things being buttoned up, but I don't know. I wanted a little bit more, maybe even like a little post-credit scene or like a text blurb that was like, the girls were okay. They finally moved, you know, something like that.
So I guess plays into the whole point of the special is that they were watching it live and watching it on TV.
Right.
So the information couldn't be there, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like I say, 8 out of 10. I'd watch it again. I'm sure we'll watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for joining me, babe. I had fun in Jersey and Philly with you. And, of course, like we said, go check out Monster Vegan as well as Grindcore House if you're in the area anytime soon or if you live in the area and we're just somehow oblivious to the options. But
yeah.
Thank you guys again so much. Make sure you go follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast, as well as if you want to just keep up with what old Lorraine is doing here. thank you guys so much, and stay safe.
Thanks so much, guys.